Langdon nodded, dumbstruck. The glowing words were materializing just beneath the engraved inscription on the capstone. It looked like only three words, and although Langdon could not yet read what the words said, he wondered if they would unveil everything they had been looking for tonight. "The pyramid is a real map," Galloway had told them, "and it points to a real location." As the letters shone brighter, Catherine turned off the gas, and the water slowly stopped churning. The capstone now came into focus beneath the water's calm surface. Three shining words were clearly legible. Chapter 90. In the dim light of the Cathedral College kitchen, Langdon and Catherine stood over the pot of water and stared at the transformed capstone beneath the surface. On the side of the golden capstone, an incandescent message was glowing. Langdon read the shining text, scarcely able to believe his eyes. He knew the pyramid was rumored to reveal a specific location, but he had never imagined that the location would be quite this specific. 8 Franklin Square. "A street address," he whispered, stunned. Catherine looked equally amazed. "I don't know what's there, do you?" Langdon shook his head. He knew Franklin Square was one of the older sections of Washington, but he wasn't familiar with the address. He looked at the tip of the capstone and read downward, taking in the entire text. "The secret hides within the order. 8 Franklin Square." "Is there some kind of order on Franklin Square? Is there a building that hides the opening to a deep spiral staircase?" Whether or not there was actually something buried at that address, Langdon had no idea. The important issue at this point was that he and Catherine had deciphered the pyramid and now possessed the information required to negotiate Peter's release. And not a moment too soon. The glowing arms on Langdon's Mickey Mouse watch indicated that they had less than 10 minutes to spare. "Make the call," Catherine said, motioning to a phone on the wall in the kitchen. "Now!" The sudden arrival of this moment startled Langdon, and he found himself hesitating. "Are we sure about this?"
"I most certainly am."
"I'm not telling him anything until we know Peter is safe."
"Of course not. You remember the number, right?"
Langdon nodded and made his way over to the kitchen phone. He lifted the receiver and dialed the man's cell phone number. Catherine came over and placed her head next to his so she could listen in. As the line began to ring, Langdon prepared himself for the eerie whisper of the man who had tricked him earlier tonight. Finally, the call connected. There was no greeting, though. No voice, only the sound of breathing at the other end. Langdon waited and then finally spoke. "I have the information you want. But if you want it, you'll have to give us Peter."
"Who is this?"
a woman's voice replied. Langdon jumped. "Robert Langdon," he said reflexively. "Who are you?" For an instant, he thought he must have dialed incorrectly.
"Your name is Langdon?"
The woman sounded surprised.
"There's someone here asking for you."
"What? I'm sorry, who is this?"
"Officer Paige Montgomery, with Preferred Security."
Her voice seemed shaky.
"Maybe you can help us with this. About an hour ago, my partner responded to a 911 call in Kalorama Heights. A possible hostage situation. I lost all contact with her, and so I called backup and came to check the residence. We found my partner dead in the backyard. The homeowner was gone, and so we broke in. A cell phone was ringing on the hall table, and I..."
"You're inside?" Langdon demanded.
"Yes, and the 911 tip was a good one,"
the woman stammered.
"Sorry if I sound rattled, but my partner's dead, and we found a man being held here against his will. He's in bad shape, and we're working on him now. He's been asking for two people, one named Langdon and one named Catherine." "That's my brother,"
Catherine blurted into the receiver, pressing her head closer to Langdon's.
"I made the 911 call. Is he okay?" "Actually, ma'am, he's..."
The woman's voice cracked.
"He's in bad shape. He's missing his right hand." "Please," Catherine urged. "I want to talk to him. They're working on him at the moment. He's in and out of consciousness. If you're anywhere in the area, you should get over here. He obviously wants to see you. We're about 6 minutes away, Catherine said. Then I suggest you hurry.
There was a muffled noise in the background, and the woman then returned to the line.
Sorry, it looks like I'm needed. I'll speak to you when you arrive.
The line went dead.
Chapter 91.
Inside Cathedral College, Langdon and Catherine bounded up the basement stairs and hurried down a darkened hallway looking for a front exit. No longer did they hear the sounds of helicopter blades overhead, and Langdon felt hopeful they could slip out unseen and find their way up to Kalorama Heights to see Peter.
They found him. He's alive.
30 seconds earlier, when they'd hung up with the female security guard, Catherine had hurriedly hoisted the steaming pyramid and capstone out of the water. The pyramid was still dripping when she lowered it into Langdon's leather bag. Now he could feel the heat radiating through the leather. Excitement over Peter's discovery had temporarily trumped any further reflection on the capstone's glowing message. 8 Franklin Square. But there would be time for that once they got to Peter. As they rounded the corner at the top of the stairs, Catherine stopped short and pointed into a sitting room across the hall. Through the bay window, Langdon could see a sleek black helicopter sitting silent on the lawn. A lone pilot stood beside it, facing away from them and talking on his radio. There was also a black Escalade with tinted windows parked nearby. Staying in the shadows, Langdon and Catherine moved into the sitting room and peered out the window to see if they could see the rest of the field team. Thankfully, the huge lawn outside the National Cathedral was empty.
They must be inside the cathedral, Langdon said.
They're not, a deep voice said behind them.
Langdon and Catherine wheeled around to see who had spoken. In the doorway of the sitting room, 2 black-clad figures aimed laser-sighted rifles at them. Langdon could see a glowing red dot dancing on his chest.
Nice to see you again, Professor, said
a familiar, raspy voice. The agents parted, and the tiny form of Director Sato sliced effortlessly through, crossing the sitting room and stopping directly in front of Langdon.
You've made some exceedingly poor choices tonight.
The police found Peter Solomon, Langdon declared forcefully. He's in bad shape, but he'll live. It's over. If Sato was surprised Peter had been found, she did not show it. Her eyes were unflinching as she walked to Langdon and stopped only inches away.
Professor, I can assure you, this is nowhere near over. And if the police are now involved, it has only become more serious.